Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up,
foolishness, and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
There are many languages and forms of communication among people. However, there is one that we speak all around the world. Or should I say, there is one that speaks to us, that is undoubtedly one of the most powerful. It speaks to the heart, the body, the mind, and the spirit, all in one syncopation.
Syncopation.
That resonates within all living things. It can make us laugh. It can make us cry. It helps us vent our frustration. It also creates amazing bonds between spirits. I, of course, am talking about music.
It's universal.
Or Capitol, or Warner, or Motown.
BMT.
So, listen closely with those fine-tuned ears, because this week we pour our hearts out about our favorite musicians, artists, bands and singers, and everything in between, and how music shaped us into the fabulous queers we are today. All right, Magnolias, let's warm up those vocal cords.
Me.
And take it away.
Relax your throat, ladies.
Yeah. Excuse me, I had something in there.
Frog.
Got a frog, honey, with a W. Frog with a W.
Oh, I'm here to tell you, music is one of my very favorite subjects. I love music. I like almost every kind of music. I hate steel drums, and I'm not so fond of rap, but hip-hop I like, but music I absolutely adore. It is like the most fantastic thing of my life. I have collected music for years, and I might have...
Oh, child, she got a lot of music.
Yes, honey.
Okay, that's all I got to say.
There is not a number.
15 to 20,000 CDs, yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. I love
catalogs.
Under the bed, in storage, on shelves. Okay, But I love music.
I really do.
I grew up in a house that had music. My mom and dad had these records that were from Atlantic Records, and they were R&B disc, and they were so amazing. It was Laverne Baker and Ruth Brown and Benny King, and it was all of the older artists who had been on Atlantic Records. So I grew up in a house with R&B music, a little white bread boy with R&B music.
I love that.
I do, too. My mom was in love with the Righteous Brothers. So we had some blue-eyed soul. She would vacuum the house with a little Latin loop-a-loo singing in the background. It was crazy, but I loved it.
So Danny is the guy that when you're sitting around the living room with just a small group of people and you've got Alexa in the background and you need to have her play a little something in the background so that everybody can sort of chill and relax, Danny is the guy you go to because he picks out this music that you wouldn't necessarily go to on your first choice, and it just fits perfectly.
It's true, like an encyclopedic knowledge.
Yeah, it's just so great. It's magic. It's not even skill. It's magic.
Thank you. That's very kind. I try to mirror what's going on with the conversation. You know, if you're at a crazy dinner party and people are like wild and crazy, you try to find something to mirror that. Or if it's a moment that people want to reflect, you find something to match that. So
Harry Belafonte off your list.
The Calypso album? Absolutely. It is absolutely. Harry Belafonte is amazing. He was the greatest activist for equal rights.
Yes.
I love Harry Belafonte for that. His Calypso album, not so much.
So no Deo for you.
No Deo. But his daughter, Sherry, was so gorgeous in Hotel. Oh, my stars.
That's a whole other conversation. It is a, let's not get on Hotel.
Oh, wait, we're going back to pop culture already.
We did Hotel in season one.
Well, I think we did.
Sherry
I think
Belafonte,
we did.
Honey.
So, you know, after the growing up with the Righteous Brothers and stuff, I, you know, in the 70s, I got into some Manilow and Linda Ronstadt and the Eagles, Blondie. Oh, my God, Debbie Harry.
Oh, Debbie Harry.
Amazing. So, you know, I progressed to the next level, which wasn't my final level, but it was that particular level. So, y'all know Blondie? Do you know Blondie?
We do.
I do know Blondie.
But before you get to your progression too much, no, let's talk about what we all grew up listening to. What did our parents listen to? What about your parents, Rick?
My mother.
Kitty Wells.
No. My mother is huge on Elvis. She's an Elvis.
Oh, Elvis.
Six Ways from Sunday.
Yes.
To this day, I recently got her, a little, Alexa device for her house, and she's figured out how to play music anytime she wants to hear music, and all she plays all day long is Elvis.
Yes, and good for her. Good for her.
I don't understand. And she's like, but I. She went to every freaking concert.
Oh, wow.
When he was in the area, she went to all of them. It was insane.
She's a true Southern lady.
It's either Neil Diamond or Elvis Presley. One of the. But I will say. Oh, a lovely thing about Elvis is he was such a consummate artist. He was always perfectly on key.
I think she was probably more into it for the gyrating hips, though, but, you know, whatever. That's fine.
You know what? Honey, we get our happy where we get it. You know what I'm saying to you?
It's true.
Elvis was really, really talented.
And young Elvis was so attractive.
Golly Moses, was he attractive.
Before the peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Before the white polyester jumpsuits, yes.
Well, before the drugs didn't make him wake up and go to sleep. So, you know, but I don't think he needed a sock like Tom Jones did.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying to you?
But for the music that I grew up sort of leaning towards, I never had a particular sound. Mine was kind of all over the place. One of the things I hated growing up and has changed in the past 10 years is country music.
Oh, yeah.
I hated country music growing up because it felt like that's where I'm from. I don't want to associate where I'm from. I want to aspire to be something else. So
it was force fed to us.
Well, that is true. Exactly. And bluegrass.
Yeah.
I have such an appreciation for bluegrass music right now.
Of course.
In my life.
Yes.
No. But coming up, I was like, that's the last fucking thing I want. Banjo? I don't want to hear a banjo.
I want to hear
banjo
that.
And a steel guitar. No, ma'am. Lawrence Welkin, that goddamn accordion, really. Fucking run over that accordion in the parking lot.
That's
funny. With a Buick, honey, or an Oldsmobile.
Oh, it's all about the Lawrence Welk show. Come on now.
I mean, it truly is. My grandparents, my mom's parents loved the Lawrence Welk show.
Yes, my aunties, honey. Every weekend.
Wonderful, wow. Wonderful. Well,
wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Next up is the Lennon Sisters. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
With the bubble machine.
And Myron, whatever, Lansky. I think that was the gangster, wasn't it? Myron, somebody's going to play something now.
Maybe.
Sorry. One nice thing I can say about Lawrence Welk is he did bring sort of different kinds of music into our household. Sort of like Ed Sullivan had done in the 50s and 60s, which might have been slightly almost ahead of my time, but there were different kinds of music. Fuck both y'all. So whatever.
The look that just shot across the table between three other people.
I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
But wait, so Dan, is that true? Because like I think about watching Lawrence Welk, and I'm sure at this point, maybe it was reruns when my grandparents would watch because they loved him. I mean, if they been able to buy it on DVD box set back in the day, they totally would have.
Yes.
But I don't remember there being a lot of variety. Like, it's a lot of, like, Lennon Sisters standing there singing and some guy singing about under a street lamp and some girls that walk by.
Show. It's how I remember it as well.
So, one thing about Lawrence Welk is, you're right.
Very vanilla.
It was. It was, and it was on purpose. Because they sold condominiums and a whole bunch of other stuff every week. They made millions of dollars. Lawrence Welk was a genius at making money.
So I grew up definitely with classic rock in my household. From, you know, I was born in the 70s, so that's what we grew up
like. Credence Clearwater
Revival. Yes, honey.
Oh, some Smoke on the Water.
Yes, Led Zeppelin, like Fleetwood Mac, Supertramp, Heart.
Supertramp. Oh my God. Yes. My brother used to listen to Supertramp all the time.
Your brother lived with Supertramp. I can't even say these words. Your brother lived with Supertramp.
Didn't
honey.
Know it yet.
And I think, like, I remember so well my mother, her greatest love was Janis Joplin.
Well, and we know your mother danced around in her sundress she in did. The living room.
She did for sure. But
Janis Joplin is like the key or the stairway to so many other genres of music. Mm-hmm. She was so incredibly talented. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my stars.
What a spirit.
And a powerhouse.
What a spirit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for Love sure. It.
Amy Winehouse, Janis Joplin.
Yeah, so much comes
Hello,
from
Hello, twins. Yeah,
for sure, 100%.
Jake, what about you? Did you grow up with any music, honey? Or were you locked in a closet?
Yeah, I was definitely in the closet.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Yes, I am a human being, so my parents did listen to music. They did, same as George, there's a lot of classic rock. And they had such a record collection.
Oh,
and,
love
you know,
it.
I learned to.
Oh, like actual vinyl.
The actual vinyls.
And so I learned, were my parents.
And I learned to, you know, put the record on the correct way and how to start up a record and. Yep, exactly. That great sound.
And don't worry about that scratch. Don't do that scratch.
Lift up. Don't pull.
Right. Exactly. Precisely.
And I remember listening to a lot of Tom Petty. They love Tom Petty.
Oh, I like Tom Petty.
But also the Beatles. They had all the Beatles records. And I became Beatle Jake as a kid because I obsessed over it.
Beatle Jake. Love it.
So that's what I
remember. Get you a name tag that says Beatle Jake. I like that.
BJ.
So that's what I remember BJ. As a kid.
Watch your mouth now.
I'm going to get Dan when it says Day-O Dan.
Day-O.
And of course, that did evolve as I grew up. And became a teenager, and it hardened up a little bit more. And which is interesting because I was totally into punk rock in high school, but at the same time, I was also in the orchestra.
Oh, the dichotomy of it all.
And I played the viola in the orchestra, so I listened and actually appreciated a lot of classical music. My mom and I would go to classical concerts and stuff like that. But I remember sitting in the front row with, you know, fiery red hair that I had dyed, like fire truck, manic panic. I remember having a mohawk at one point, a foot mohawk, and I would put it up going into a classical music concert. So
I mean, I kind of fucking love that.
Right?
It is kind of fucking awesome. I love everything about
so
it.
So I love that.
So, Jacob, what was your favorite piece to play when you were in orchestra?
A skin flute. Sorry, you'll go.
There was a lot. So, as a viola player, you don't get to do a whole lot of fun stuff. It's a harmonizing. It's one of the most important harmonizing instruments, and it plays pretty much dull stuff most of the time. Occasionally, you get some fun solos and things like that, but at the time I was in the orchestra, the Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out.
Oh, right.
I love Pirates. And I love that. And our orchestra teacher actually got the rights to play it. And we got to play it wasn't the full score, but it was like an abridged version of the full score.
Oh, wow.
And it Pirates was, of the Caribbean or Pirates of Penzance?
Pirates of the Caribbean,
Different.
Steel drums, Dan. Yes. You weren't listening.
Steel drums. So what is your go-to music then? So it sounds like you were kind of raised on classical. Is that where you go to now?
Honestly, my taste for music is very eclectic. I go to a lot of...
Same. I feel the same way for me.
I go to a lot of rock, though, for sure. Rock and roll, punk rock, and 80s rock. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right.
He does love some Hall & Oates.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
George, what is your go-to music?
So, okay. Well, you said college, Dan. So I'll talk about the fact that, like, when I got older, you know, like we talked about growing up so submerged in the South and like bluegrass, which was such a huge thing in our family, and country music with my grandparents and my aunt actually married a bluegrass musician, and I went to that wedding, and it was on hay bales, and it was very bluegrass.
And in a barn, in a field. Yes, I get it. Next to a graveyard.
So there was all that. No, the graveyard's my thing, honey. Right. So I really transitioned to more like alternative. Like, I was super in high school and early college, like, I was super into like the Smiths and the Cure and Susie and the Banshees and Depeche Mode. But while I was in college, when I was in Chapel Hill, my short college career, in the early 90s, the big movement was grunge. And because I was in Chapel Hill at the time, and Chapel Hill was getting this huge reputation as being the next Seattle as far as a music movement.
Right. Remember that.
Yeah, that was a really big thing. I mean, Cat's Cradle, which was a live music venue, and which still is, huge on the scene. And they were getting all these bands that were really, like, people were all over the country were really paying attention to what was happening. I remember there was, like, an article in Details Magazine. It was, like, about the Chapel Hill Billies, about the music scene that was coming up out of
I like that. Hello.
The Chapel Hill Billies. I love it.
And, you know, they were saying it was, like, Chapel Hill was kind of like Seattle on Prozac, because it was kind of combining, like, that part grunge metal that was happening and mixing with, like, Saturday morning cartoon cuteness.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so there were the bands that were happening, like Ben Folds 5. They got very big. The Squirrel Nut Zippers. And that was that whole swing dance kind of, like,
coming. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I remember that.
Soup, Archers of Loaf, Southern Culture on the Skids, Whiskey Town, which was actually Ryan Adams' first band. And Ryan Adams, of course, went on to be a solo artist. And one of my favorite albums of all time is his revamping of the Taylor Swift 1989 album. So good. The what he did with that, so great.
Or Brian Adams?
Ryan. Not Brian. He's from Canada.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Whiskey Town, which of course was Ryan Adams' first band, and he went on to have a solo career. And one of my favorite albums of all time is he redoing the entirety of Taylor Swift's 1989 album. It's so great what he did with that.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So, isn't though grunge was like this new thing for us, and I would say like, ugh, grunge, like with the Nirvana of it all, and like, you know, I'm like, give me the Cure, whatever the hell I was listening to back then.
At that time.
At that time, but it was all happening around me, and you couldn't really avoid it. Like, you would go to these shows, and there was such a scene that was happening. So I'm really excited to have been part of that, to look back on that history of that Chapel Hill music scene.
Oh, I like that.
Chapel Hill Billy, I love it.
Yeah, exactly, honey.
That's a cool thing. So, you know, a fun thing is, so there you were in Chapel Hill with the Chapel Hill
Billies. With the Chapel Hill Billies, right? Yes.
And this grunge scene going on. So in 1987, I was up in the mountains of North Carolina, and at that time I lived in Raleigh. And I was coming
back.
That
was before the 88 to 99.
It's true.
When, it was before I was in Miami from 88 to 99. So, you know. So, I was coming back from the mountains. I'd been up with my dad and stepmom. And I was coming back. And I am wont to zigzag. Rick will tell everybody that.
Drives me insane.
I don't go from point A to point B. I go from A to A2, A4, A7, and blah, blah, blah. And then I finally get to B. I zigzag.
Well, you don't go straight down the road. You go gaily forward.
Right, I twirl.
It's not even twirling, honey. She moves from the left side of the road to the right side of the road to the back side of the road to the front side of the road.
Well, and the thing is, if you want to eat some barbecue or you want to eat some catfish, you should come with me because I know all the joints to go to, Ghani. So I'm coming back from the mountains and I come to Winston-Salem off of I-40, and I love downtowns. I don't care where I am. I want to see the downtown. I want to see the heartbeat of whatever's going on. So I go to downtown Winston-Salem, and there are all these barricades, and it turns out there's a jazz festival and a street parade.
Oh, honey.
Well, I remember this story.
Your name's all over this.
It's all over this, honey. So I park, and I walk down. I get a beer, and I'm walking down the street, and I get a little further down the street, and down the hill in a band shell is this jazz trio, Sunday afternoon, piano player, bass, and drums, and it's a man named Joe Williams, who is the consummate jazz singer. He stood in front of this microphone and sang for several hours.
Oh, wow.
No pyrotechnics, no lights, no nothing. It was just him.
Just him and his voice.
His voice, the trio. And I was mesmerized. And I fell in love with Joe Williams in that moment. And that was what brought me through to jazz vocalist, which I've spent many years traveling over the U.S., going to see shows, especially here in LA. When I first got here in 2000, you could see a jazz show every day of the week. Now you're lucky if you can see one a month, which is a little exaggeration, but I will say that it was a shift for me to see something different. And there again, in North Carolina, places you don't necessarily think, oh, my stars, I'll go to North Carolina and have a shift in my musical experience.
Well, it's funny. I think I might have been at that same little jazz event that you were at, because I do remember something very similar to that. But
you were in a stroller, weren't you, honey, in pigtails?
I was. I was but a wee lass.
She was looking for the carnies operating the tilt-a-whirl, honey.
Tilt-a-what?
Tilt-a-whirl. Right.
Tilt my world, baby. Come on, carny.
Tilt-a-girl.
Okay, you guys have talked about classical to grunge to jazz.
Yes.
I'm going to go all in on power ballads.
Oh, of course you are.
Oh, yes. Well,
a power bottom goes for a power ballad.
It's all about the power ballad, so come on, honey. Anything by Celine Dion.
Oh, 100%.
Number one.
Right, right, hello.
Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And let's see. I mean, there's so many. Cher.
Cher.
Oh, my God.
Bro. If I could turn back time, honey.
But let's talk about some Celine Dion songs. I mean, that she's the queen of the power ballad. It's all coming back to me now.
Oh, well, honey.
The Titanic song.
And
my
the
heart
Titanic
will go
song.
On.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's coming back to me now. What was that? No.
But I was also a big fan of Toni Braxton, because Girl, I Broke Up to many a song from Toni Braxton. Unbreak My Heart. Don't even.
What about Anita Baker? What about Anita Baker?
My
hello.
God, I loved Anita Baker. Just power
let's not forget
so.
Miss Vanessa Williams.
Really?
Sometimes the snow comes down in June.
See, it does though, right?
Sometimes
no
the sun
girls.
Goes around the moon.
Alanis Morissette? Anybody?
Oh, I love Alanis Morissette.
You ought to know.
Love her.
Her. I'm going to segue this right into something else, though. So proper love songs? Anybody?
I don't even know what that is. Is it like Jack Wagner on General Hospital? What is this? Or what's
Danny
his name?
Romani,
Danny.
Honey,
Rick
yes,
Springfield.
Man,
what was that fucking...
shit. No, ma'am.
But now, if you came up in the 90s watching soap operas...
I feel like you're talking about the 80s for these late 80s.
No,
for these
no, he's,
no, the late 80s, 90s soap opera love songs. Oh, my God. Santa
Gloria
Barbara.
Loring.
Gloria Loring, Friends and Lovers. Yes, right, Days of Our Lives. Santa
Carl
Barbara,
Anderson.
If Ever You're in My Arms Again, that's probably... The Joe and Kelly love story. Oh, my God.
I kept no comments for this.
Honey, the drama of it all.
You were in my...
Hold on. Almost Paradise? No. Wally?
Yes.
Wally? Come on now. That's a Guiding Light song. Oh. You know it is.
Is that? I mean, I even know that song. Is that a Guiding Light song?
It was a Guiding Light song.
Okay.
Holding Out for a Hero, which was Days of Our Lives.
Bonnie Tyler?
I think it was Beau and Hope. Broken Wings. Do you remember Broken Wings? That was also a Days of Our Lives theme song.
So wait, so was
See,
it
you know all these songs.
But wait, so was it a song written for the soap opera or something they just covered on the soap opera
thank
that was somebody
you.
Else's
does
song?
Does it fucking
you.
Matter?
I mean, sort of it does. I mean, we could say Kids Incorporated made up songs and they did not.
Alright, so the two songs that I know were written for soap operas was Friends and Lovers, because
okay.
Gloria
yes,
Loring did it with Carl Anderson, right?
Anderson, yes.
And so she wrote it, and specifically to do it in the show.
So do you know who... Okay, so let's talk about this for just 1 second. Let's...
Okay.
So do you know who her son is?
Whose son?
I don't know. Gloria Loring's son? I don't know.
Cliff Loring.
Beauregard. It's Beauregard Loring.
All right, so do you know who Gloria Loring's son is?
I do not.
It's Robin Thicke.
What?
Oh.
Yes, it is.
Oh. You are.
Yes.
With Alan Thicke.
With Alan Thicke.
Oh, my God.
Robin Thicke.
Mr. Seaver.
Yes.
Will.
And Gloria and Robin have done a duet together.
Well, you know. as they say on General Hospital, honey, yes. Baby, come to me. Shall we head on out to the front door? Well,
that cocktail ain't coming to us. We better go to it, sugar.
Tote your thirst on outside.
But before we go, I did want to say one little thing. This is our last episode for season two.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, what a great time we've had.
How time has flown.
And we are going to miss you ever so until season three.
Like sand through an hourglass.
So are the days of our lives.
These are the gays of our lives. But I do want to say we do have a very special Pride episode coming
up. We do.
And we have a very special musician friend of ours. He's a friend of the pod.
Yes.
Mr. Tommy Atkins.
Yay!
Who will be joining us.
For our Pride episode. It's a special.
I love it.
Tommy is such a wonderful, wonderful musician. He's a country artist. He's gay. He's from England. I mean, I didn't even know they had country music in England. But I will say that he is such a wonderful artist.
And he's got a new single that he's going to announce in our episode.
Ooh, exclusive, bitches.
Yes. It turns out something's going to be dropping on Tommy. Stay tuned to find out what it is. Is it going to be?
What's it going to be, Tommy? Uh-huh. What's it going to be? Uh-huh. All right. I need a drink, y'all. Shall we head on outside?
The roof is on fire.
See y'all in a minute.
Well, welcome out to the front porch, y'all.
Here we are.
Hi. It's a nice little afternoon for a little cocktail, don't you think?
Ain't it?
Mm-hmm. It's a little warm and bright out here.
And what have you showed up with today, Mr. Jake?
Well, I thought something nice and bright and delicious and refreshing.
Speak again, Bright Angel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All of the above.
Sing to me, honey. Sing to me.
Well, I will. And this one's called Please Don't Stop the Music.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
So there's 3 ounces of vodka, three ounces of lemonade, and then you start it off by muddling some blueberries and mint, and you pour that on top.
Muddle.
Finish it with a little soda water.
Nice.
And top of the sprig of mint.
Yes.
So pretty. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, honey. Yes.
The color of Elizabeth Taylor's eyes.
Mm. These have always brought me luck.
White diamonds.
Right.
This is delicious, Jacob.
Nice. I love it. It's so freshy.
It's very summery.
Yes.
Summery.
It's fresh, ain't it? Y'all being fresh.
Busted.
Pick a nick.
All right. So let's pick a subject. What do we got out of the honey pot?
Sticking my hand
dig in
the sticky jar.
Dig in. Yes. Show me
get
your
in,
love,
honey.
Mate.
Spread them. Get in.
Y'all ain't right.
Get in there, girl. Get in there, girl. What you got? Are you hyperventilating over there? What's happening?
I need my oxygen mask.
Who's got an EpiPen, honey? I think a wasp stung her.
Something stung me.
Celebrity crushes.
Yay!
I never had one.
We all have one. What's yours, Rick? You seem very excited
to say it. Right? Idris Elba. Oh my fucking God, I love that motherfucker so much.
Yes.
Mitzi, you feel me? You feel me, honey? I know you feel me.
So what I think you're saying to us is, Idris, can you hear me?
I'm outside. Open the door, Idris. Open the door. I'm outside. Hello. I'm outside.
Stalker much.
He's fancy and sophisticated.
Fancy.
Fancy. Should I go with number two?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
I have a number two.
Okay. Yeah. Idris, could you step aside? Bachelor number two, what is your name?
Well, since Idris might be otherwise occupied with Mitzi Charles, Michael B. Jordan, please step to the front of the line.
Oh, you've got all the bachelor gentlemen.
Somebody else?
So, my very first celebrity crush, like when I was however many years, like 12 maybe?
Okay.
Was Josh Brolin in The Goonies.
I love Josh.
As Brandon Walsh in The Goonies, like that was set my little 12-year-old whatever heart aflutter.
Well, you know, he was also Thanos. And
he's been lots of things, but we're talking about first time. Uh-huh. We're talking about Josh Brolin.
I mean, I
in
don't
the
mind
Goonies.
That big old giant fist thing as Thanos. Like, hey,
well, as we said in the toy episode last season, Fisto. One giant fist is a superpower.
So, who's his daddy? Snap.
James Brolin.
James Brolin. Yes. I remember James
Hotel.
Brolin
we're back to Hotel.
See? And Babs.
And Babs, mm-hmm. honey. Oh, he was so handsome. Josh is gorgeous.
I love Josh Brolin.
Stars.
But
he
my
really is.
Current.
Okay, today.
Current today, right uh-huh. now, Celebrity Crush is 100% Chris Pratt. I love Chris Pratt so much. And the thing is,
he's adorable.
He is so adorable. And I actually prefer Chris Pratt as Andy Dwyer on Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
Okay. Like, I don't, like, I also, of course, love him in, like, Star-Lord and the Jurassic Park.
World.
Whatever it was. Yes, yeah. Yes. But Andy Dwyer is my jam. I love that man.
So, first up is Chris Noth. For me, from uh-huh. Law and Order.
Yep.
Oh, honey, I love some Chris Noth. Oh, my stars, I watched Law and Order. I'm a big Law and Order fan
Have them. You been watching The Equalizer on CBS, the new
not
series
yet.
With Queen Latifah and Chris Noth?
Well, not yet, because I haven't been able to tap into your like,
you haven't been able to log in on my account.
Right, I see what you're saying.
See, but I'm telling you, though, soon. I love. I am loving me some Equalizer.
He is so adorable. And I actually met him / saw him in person one
She's
time.
She stalked him. As
Girl.
I would have. I think this man is so handsome.
Some Mr. Big, honey.
Yeah. So I was sitting outside of Rising Lotus Yoda.
Say it again, you will.
I think I'll start that over again. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, man, that's my new favorite.
You might have to leave that shit in. So anyway, I would. So there was one Saturday, I was sitting outside of yoga at Rising Lotus, and this guy crossed the street, and I thought, oh, my stars, he looks familiar. And he stops in front of me, and he says, hi, could you tell me what kind of yoga they have here? And I'm like, and he said, is it hot? And I'm like, but it's I'm hot right
but
now.
But you are. But you are.
And he just sort of looked at me, and he sort of shook his head, and he moved on. I thought, oh.
Chris Noth with a Chris No.
Yeah, it was all the way no.
It was all no.
I was like, why did that stop the village idiot?
Yeah. Precisely. I'm sure what he thought was,
there's nothing rising in this house, honey. We done.
Another restraining order.
Here we go.
Chris, no thanks.
Right? Yes.
He's like, next one.
So, uniquely enough, after Chris left, then there was Benjamin Bratt, which rhymes with your Pratt.
Yes,
so,
he do.
So, see, I told you I was going to rhyme this stuff.
Took a minute, but she got there.
Bringing it on in.
I had to work really hard on this shit, y'all.
We're going to bring this in for a landing, honey. We're just going to keep circling the airport. What's happening here?
But honestly, Benjamin Bratt.
I love Benji Bratt.
He's handsome. He's so cute. He is handsome. He's so talented. So, oh my God, my new favorite thing is Sam Heughan in Outlander.
Oh, honey. Yes.
When he says, "Oh, you got nipples like cherries," honey, I'm in the mirror every day trying to make sure my nipples look like cherries.
Sassenach.
Every day is a Sunday.
I'm here to tell you, I redheads are not my favorite usually, but Sam Heughan is my favorite.
He's your most favorite.
With his dyed red hair. He's blonde in real life.
Men in Kilts, honey.
Oh, my God. I love that show. Ooh.
Jake, you have to have a celebrity crush, right?
Mm-hmm. My childhood crush was Hayden Christensen.
Oh, from the Star Wars prequels.
Yes.
He was also in a movie called Life as a House, and he played this like teenage boy who was troubled, and he was like, there was this scene where he had this questioning part of his sexuality, and I was like, it was very influential. Pick me.
Exactly.
And, you know, he had like blue hair, and he was like piercings and stuff. And I was
see?
Like, oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, I totally remember having, I mean, being in love with him. And then the second Star Wars movie came out, and that was really where he, I mean, that was what I totally remember him from.
He was so handsome.
Yeah.
Such a cutie.
Yeah. So my second celebrity crushes was woman, and when the X-Men movie came out, the X-Men one came
out, the first she played,
is it Sookie Stackhouse?
No, it's not. It's Rogue. She played Jean Grey. It was Famke Janssen.
Oh, I love her.
Famke, I love her.
She is so gorgeous.
She is absolutely a gorgeous woman.
She is so beautiful.
And
she
I had is. A huge crush on her when I was
so statuesque. And then there was Hemlock Grove, which was, right. She was so amazing in.
Right.
And then Bill Skarsgård. Wow.
Well, and then there's Bill Skarsgård.
It. Cousin It. Or It.
He could be cousin it. He could be my it, your it. My I'll take all the it.
Tag your it, honey.
Well, hello. Yes, ma'am.
Cousin it, that's a little too much hair.
I mean,
it was too hair all over
Nair.
The
place. Honey, I got Nair at home. We can get rid of that hair.
That said, someone's ice cubes are looking mighty dry over
this
here.
Is empty.
Well,
for the last time of the season, honey.
But this is our last episode for season two.
It do bear repeating. Mm.
It do indeed. And we have our friend Tommy Atkins coming on for a special Pride episode next week. We are going to have such fun with Tommy.
We'll see you guys soon, absolutely, in season three.
Thank you so much for coming along for season two. We enjoyed it. We love you. And we will see you for a Pride episode. And then season three coming up soon.
Yes, ma'am. Cheers, y'all.
Kisses and love to you all.
Kisses.
Queer Magnolias is a weekly podcast hosted by Rick Clifton, Danny White, and George Skinner, and produced by yours truly, Jacob McGinnis. You can find us everywhere you find your podcasts, so please take a few minutes to leave a rating or review. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. If this is your first time joining us, please subscribe to receive the next episode automatically. Thank you for following us on Twitter at Queer Magnolias and on Instagram at Queer Magnolias Podcast. Or you can email us at queermagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com.